morning. Our Bible reading this morning comes from John chapter 1, starting at verse 1 through to verse 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
There are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who want certainty and those who can live with mystery. There are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who close tabs and those who build digital museums. There are two kinds of people. There are the people who fold their laundry immediately, and there are those who own a couch. There are two kinds of people. There are those people who don't like pineapple on pizza, and those who are just wrong. There are two kinds of people. There are those who fold fitted sheets and those who accept reality. There are two kinds of people. There are those who sort cables and anarchists. There are two kinds of people. There are those who crave completeness. You know who you are. You know who you are. There are two kinds of people. There are those who divide people into two kinds of people, and those who have just had enough. There are two categories of people that emerge from this passage, and they make all other categories seem trivial. So I want you to listen to the passage from verse 9. Now, we read from the beginning, we read from verse 1, but I'm going to focus on verses 9 to 13 only. We just read those first verses so that you'd get the flow of it. And also, when I was sitting there, I realised that my words are slightly different to your words because I'm reading from a different translation. But let's just kind of cope with that. I'm going to read the words that I have in front of me, which are, so from verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Okay, so we notice there that the world, as it's being used, is not just creation, but it's a category of people that doesn't recognize Jesus. So he came into that which was his own, reading from verse 11, and his own did not receive him. Okay, so they don't recognize, they don't receive, even when he came into his own. And then we have verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of a human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Now, the verses, as we read just before this section, leave us with a kind of a sense of tension. So if you look back at verse 5, it says, The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Okay, so there's this darkness that needs to become kind of overcome. Just as there was a darkness, a creation that had to be overcome by God speaking word. So the word then must come as light and life against the darkness. But here that kind of tension of darkness and light is kind of developed into two groups. And we have the world and the children of God. But what is it that makes the difference between these groups? How does one move from being in the world to becoming a child of God? And that's what we need to see today. So we're going to do three things. We're going to understand the world. What is the world? We're going to then look at the children of God. And then we're going to look at the difference between those groups. So the world, children of God, and then the difference. And clearly the difference between them is the crux of it. So firstly, let's look at the world. And so we look at verse 9. It picks up where verse 5 left off. So there's this kind of interlude of John the Baptist in 6 to 8. And we're going to kind of come back to that. This verse 9, kind of transitions us from verses 1 to 5. Which were about the word, how the word was received. So it becomes about how this word was received by people. So if we go back to 4 and 5, it said, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then in verse 9, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Okay, it's not until verse 14 that we hear how this light comes into the world. But for now, John is focused on how this word was received. So we read on. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. So the true light comes into the world, but the world doesn't recognize it. Now, the world throughout the Gospel of John are those who are in darkness, whose deeds are evil, and who reject God's Son. Here, we see that they don't receive or recognize him. And their rejection of the word is emphasized and shown to be foolish and outrageous in a couple of ways. So, firstly, we've seen, actually demonstrated to us in the kids' talk, that Jesus is the true light that shines in the darkness. So it seems therefore foolish to reject him. Why would you remain in darkness? It's like somebody covering their eyes and asking why it's still dark. Secondly, it is because he's the creator, so he brought about the light. They were made through him, and yet they didn't recognize him. So the irony is profound. The created rejecting the creator. And thirdly, in verse 11, when it says that he came to that which was his own is most likely the Jewish nation. So later in the gospel, Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman, and he says salvation comes from the Jews. So it was the Jewish people through whom God revealed his will. It was the Jewish nation that Jesus went to first. He was born into the line of Abraham. He was born into the line of David. And yet his own did not receive him. So the world is those who have rejected God, who have rejected his Son, and by implication remain in darkness. And in contrast to the world, we have those who have become the children of God. And this is our next point. So after the foolish rejection of verses 9 to 11, verse 12 comes as a great relief. Not everybody has refused to receive the light. Says, yet all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So there's two things that describe this group of people who are given this right to become children of God, and they mean roughly the same thing. So it's those who receive him and those who believe in his name. So to receive someone has a sense of taking somebody into your house. It's a term of hospitality. And to believe in someone's name is to believe in their character, to believe in who they really are. So it's one thing to believe that somebody exists, but quite another to believe that somebody is who they are at their core. So these are both strong words, strong terms. People given the right to be children of God aren't just casual acquaintances of Jesus. They are not just people who know who he is or kind of identify with a Christian church. They are people who receive Jesus into their lives and are changed by who he is. So please don't just be a casual acquaintance of Jesus. Be all in as people who receive him and believe in him. And this brings us to our last point, and that is the difference between these two groups, or how somebody moves from one group to another. Because those who are given the right to be children of God have actually moved from being in the world. So later in the gospel, Jesus says that he has chosen his disciples out of the world. So they were in the world and yet have moved out of that group. So what makes the difference between the two? Well, there are two things in this passage that move people from one to the other. And one is a very human thing, and the second one is a very God thing. So the human thing starts with a witness, and this takes us back to verses 6 to 8, which we said we'd get back to. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. So they're talking about John the Baptist. The Baptist isn't his surname. It describes his ministry. He went baptizing people, and we see that later in chapter 1, verse 25, and chapter 3, 23. And it says that he is a witness who testifies about the light. So John was a prophet. He did the work of a prophet, which is to point people to Jesus. And there's a really very real example of that later in the chapter. If you just flick to just first down into verse 35 and to 37, it says, the next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. So there he is doing his work. But John the Baptist isn't the only witness in John's gospel. He's the initial witness in chapter 1, but as Jesus gathers his disciples and begins his ministry, John then fades into the background after chapter 3. The disciples themselves are witnesses, so including John, who's the writer, and we see that in chapter 19, 35 and chapter 21, 24. And then there are the signs that Jesus does, which also work as a witness. So at the end of the gospel, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says this. He says, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing may have life in his name." Okay, so Jesus's signs or his miracles are written down And both of them, both the signs themselves and the writing them down, the writing of the gospel, become witnesses that cause us to believe. Okay, so if we look back in our passage, go back to our passage in verse 7, it says, "He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him we might believe." All right, so all of these things are pointing towards belief. The witness of John the Baptist, Jesus' signs, and the written gospel are all there that people might believe. So what's the difference between these groups? Well, it starts with a witness. We need a witness to it, which leads to a belief, which leads to people becoming children of God. God has not left us in the dark. We're not hopelessly searching for something that can't be found. We need to open our eyes and know that there is light. And how this affects you personally depends on where you currently stand. If you've not yet believed in Jesus Christ, then it's worth noting that there has been witness that has been given to you. Okay, that is the thing, this witness. What John the Baptist spoke about, the Gospels themselves, the signs that Jesus did, all work as a witness to you to help you become a child of God. And there's a whole lot of other things that you might kind of get caught up in. There's all kinds of ethical issues that Christians see differently. What about creation and how does that kind of link to science? And what about all the things that the church has done wrong? And there are many of those. And what about when Christians don't act the way that they should? These are all good questions and worth exploring and worth holding to account. But they're not the ultimate question. They're not the ultimate thing that ought to determine our status. The ultimate issue is whether or not you believe that Jesus Christ is the light and life. Whether you believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. And to work that out, you need to take the time to work through the testimony, to work through the witness that's been given to you, the evidence that you have. And if you need help with that, Jared is here and would love to do that with you, I'm absolutely certain. If you are a Christian and there is somebody that you know that you would very much like to become a Christian, then this is helpful for you too. Because what it tells us is that it means that we need to bring people into contact with Jesus because he is the person that we're asking them to believe in. And if people are going to meet Jesus, then at some point they ought to do that through the witness that he has provided. Okay, you are a witness, but there are others beside you. There's Jesus' life, his works, his resurrection, the scriptures, the very words of God. And there's a lot of different ways that we can talk to people about Jesus. There's different ways to open up conversations, to encourage people to engage, and many are great. But at some point, then we're going to need to use those things to bring people into contact with Jesus. So I said before that there's two great things that move someone from being in the world to becoming a child of God. I said that one was a very human thing. That's what we've talked about, the evidence that leads to belief. But I also said there is a God thing, by which I mean that there is a supernatural process. And we see this in the last of our verses, which is verse 13. It says, "Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of a husband's will, but born of God." So John distinguishes there between natural birth and a spiritual rebirth. So we're all born into the world, some people are reborn as a child of God. And that is by God's choosing. Okay, so the language of being born of God reminds us, if we've read the gospel before, of what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a man, he went to visit Jesus at night, and that's recorded in John chapter 3. And Jesus says to him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." So in order for anyone to believe that Jesus is the Christ, they need God to work in them because they are naturally part of the world. And what this does is it causes us to praise God because we know that our salvation isn't our doing, but it's God's work in us. But there are some of us who find this a bit confusing or even confronting because if, logically, we think about it, we require God's work to be saved. So that's what we require that. Does that mean that there are some people who are somehow restricted then and unable to become children of God? No. Right? Well, the answer to that is no. Everybody is invited to believe and there are no restrictions. So after talking to Nicodemus and saying just that, that they need to be born again, Jesus finishes by saying everyone who believes may have eternal life. Everyone who believes. And then John reiterates this by saying whoever believes in him, whoever believes, shall not perish but have eternal life. Believing in Jesus is an absolutely free invitation for everybody. There are two kinds of people. There are those who like Venn diagrams and those who would prefer to have a cavity drilled. If you do not like Venn diagrams and they make no sense to you, what I need you to do is just stop listening for about a minute and a half. And if I could just, if you could just give me a little bit of time aside with the Venn diagram people, because, you know, I just need a little bit of time to talk through a few logical things for those kind of people. Now, I think where we go wrong on this is that we kind of think about it as if they're is a circle, if you imagine it here, representing kind of our work of believing. And then there's this other circle that represents kind of God's work. And then we think that only, this is where the Venn diagram comes in. Oh, I'm a bit worried to ask this. Who likes a Venn diagram? Oh, yes! I have a son who just loves Venn diagrams. He just talks to me in Venn diagrams, so every now and again I'll respond. Okay, so we'll just reiterate that. We've got our work of believing over here and God's work, and we accidentally think, this is where we go wrong, that if we overlap those circles, it's only in the overlap bit that you would actually have somebody who would become a child of God, who would become a Christian. Okay, and that's where we go wrong. That's where our minds kind of stop thinking, because that suggests that there's this kind of category over here of people who want to believe, but God doesn't want them to. Okay, and there are absolutely zero people in that category. Okay, there is nobody. God wants you to believe. We've got to readjust our thinking. This is how it works. There's actually two circles, and the two circles are transposed one over the other so that our will becomes exactly God's will. Okay? That's how it actually works. So that ultimate freedom for a human is actually being able to work the way our Creator intended it to be. Okay, so What we need, actually, is we don't actually need to have our God beat our wills, but we need to be set free from the slavery of sin, the thing that stops us having a free will to act the way that the Creator would want us to, is because we have sin. And as soon as we take away that slavery to sin, then we will naturally receive and believe in the Word of God. So God acting in us doesn't take away our free will. Rather, it's the only way that we can have free will. All right, everybody back in. Come back in now. Another way to think about it, and I think it is helpful to think about things from two different perspectives. We experience thinking and believing. So as people, that's our experience of hearing the gospel preached and then believing the message. Okay, but when we look back on it from another perspective, we realise that it was actually God's work in us that made us believe. So coming back to the centre of our passage, there are really just two groups of people, and they have nothing to do with pineapple on pizzas or cables or folding laundry or Venn diagrams. They are about how people respond to Jesus. Do you receive him and believe in his name? That is the eternal question. This is what matters. This is the difference between darkness and light. Life has a lot of important questions. Your career, where you're going to live, whether to marry, if so, who to. But the most important question is, do you believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God? And the way to figure that out is to go back to the evidence that we have. And that is the most important thing that you can do. And it's the most important thing that you can help somebody else to do. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have sent your Son as light into a dark world. We thank you that you have worked in us by your Spirit that we might believe in him. We pray that this church can shine the light of Jesus into the darkness of the world, that many can come to believe in him. And we ask this for his sake. Amen.